know, a lot of times we get caught up in our troubles and our trials and our everything that we face in life, and we're so overwhelmed by it, but we fail to realize the sun is going to rise tomorrow. We fail to see that there's going to be bright blue skies through our gray storms that we face. We fail to see those things. We fail to acknowledge that God is real and powerful and He will take care of us. So as Christians, we need to slow down. Take that mental image, that picture in your mind. Excuse me. That picture in your mind of something so beautiful as the sunrise. And hold that in reference to, you know, the very first thing God says in the Bible. He says, I'll give you light. I want to have something that separates the darkness. So He talked about light. Can you imagine the beauty of the very first sunrise ever? As God created the heavens and the earth, the very first time the sun rose on the earth, God said, and it happened. God is everywhere. God is unbelievably strong. We want to contain Him. But we need to learn how to let Him rule and let His beauty just envelop our lives. Because if we can reflect that light that He shines so brightly, imagine the peace in this world. And that's each one of us. We have to be able to reflect that light of God. To be part of His majesty. He desires us. He wants us. He pushes us to be out there doing the things to share His word. You know, as we read, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Are we saying that? It never ends. The love of God for us. So each Christian, we're overwhelmed by everything else but the love of God. Why can't we be overwhelmed by the love of God for us? Why can't we be overwhelmed with that? To be humble, to be put on our knees, to thank Him for whatever it is in our life. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 113. Bible reads, we'll start off in verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Praise all servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. It says, the Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory above the heavens, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princesses of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Go back to verse 3. It says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. You know, you look at a normal day, you know, you have about, 9 hours of daylight. And to be in God's light, to be in the presence of God, that's never ending. You know, we live by light. We can't function really without light. You know, a couple of years ago, I flew all the way to Thailand for work, and I can remember leaving Charlotte, and it was early in the morning, daylight, and for 30 hours straight, the sun never set, flying all the way to Thailand. That's amazing to think about that, to be traveling around the world and the sun never sets. But God's light, never ending. Never ending. The power of God is so overwhelming that we take it for granted. The beauty of God's majesty. The beauty of God's majesty is something that we need to grasp hold of. And that's whether it's somebody like Geneva. Or whether it's the young kids at BBS. The majesty of God. the things that he's created for us, the blessings that he has created for us. Turn over to Lamentations chapter 3. And this is where the scripture comes from for the steadfast of the love of the Lord. If you start off in verse 1, it says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rods of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. You know, if we think about our life, that's sometimes us. We complain about all the problems that we're having. We're complaining about our job. We're complaining about what somebody said to us, what somebody did to us. We're complaining about everything that has no meaning in life. It doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't build you up. It just tears you down. It makes you weaker. And then you jump over to verse 21. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have a hope. And as Christians, we have a hope. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. There's that sunrise. The newness of God's love for us is bright and shining. He says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He is faithful to us. While we were turning our back on him, he is still standing there, saying, look, the light is around you. The love of God, the majesty of God is there. And he goes on, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. His love never ceases. When we look at the Lord and how good he is to us, we need to be mindful. Mindful of what our reflection is. How much do we love him? How much do we care for him? Turn over to 2 Peter, please. You know, we have to grow as Christians. If we just sit around and do nothing, we'll become stagnant, like a knot on a log. We're nothing. We're nothing. We're not doing anything. We're just there. But he wants more than just there. He wants you. He wants you to be a thriving, growing, strong Christian. A strong person. To do the right things. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 18. So growing in the grace that God has given us. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. What are we doing to grow in the grace and the love of God? What are we doing? Ask yourself that. What am I doing to become a stronger Christian? What am I doing to make this a stronger place of worship? What am I doing?
Amen, brother.
Each one of us have that responsibility. Amen. To grow the grace and the peace and the knowledge of God. If we fail to do that, it weakens not just yourself, but it weakens the church. You're only as strong as the weakest link, as I say. I don't want to be the weakest link. I want to be strong in God's love, his grace, and his mercy. Jump over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Start off in verse 1, just kind of prepare it for you. This is the text of a letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests and to the prophets and all the other people, Nebuchadnezzar, and carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elijah. Son of Shaphan, and to Jeremiah. So let's jump over to verse 10 now. What is your future? I know we all think about that. We think about futures in retirement. Are you going to have enough money to take care of you in retirement? Are you going to have insurance when you get to retirement? You know, we think about all those things, but what about our future in God? Our future salvation? Does that weigh heavily on our mind? You know, as we're preparing for retirement, are we preparing for our hope to be with Him in heaven? Starting in verse 10, it says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." How powerful is that when we think about He has a hope for our future? He has a desire for us to be strong in Him. And He goes on, He says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and I will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." So God has a hope for us. He has a future for us. He has a plan for us. We need to give into that. We need to be stop being so strong-willed in our life. You know, we need to give in and humble ourselves before God and allow His direction to lead us in our life. Allow Him to take us from where we are now as a struggling Christian to a stronger, more passionate, more loving, more kind Christian who's out there making a difference in the world, being that light that we're talking about, being the morning sunrise, the beautiful sunrise. You know, we have to understand that separation from God is real. Separation from God is something that we have to think about. We've talked about this in class about how, you know, we know folks who are separated from God. There may be people here this morning that are separated from God. And what that means is you have no hope in Him. There's no future in Him. You're separated from God, the love of the Father, the power of God. You're separated from that beauty, that majesty, by your own choice. No matter how far you are, no matter how bad you think you might be, no matter how unworthy you are, He still desires you. So from that choice of being separated from God, it's your choice to come back to Him. And we'll get into that a little bit more here in a little bit. So we see, we look at this body that we have, this magnificent body. You know, we sometimes look at ourselves. And when you stand in front of a mirror, you know, I'll see one thing. But when you look at me, you're going to see something different. I'm going to see all the problems that I have, all the trials that I have, the things that I've done wrong, not just yesterday, but today. I'm going to see all those things. You're just going to see Andy there. But this body that you see is only temporary. It's just here for a short while. And there's something so much more important that we have to worry about, and that's our soul. And as God prepares us, as He builds us up, as He takes us from what we once were to what we are now, He's making us into something going to be part of the future that He talked about in those scriptures before Him. So this body is temporary. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan in our burden, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly Father, our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is good. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Are you caught up in the things that cover this body? You know, you look at some people and you judge them by their cover. You judge a book by its cover. You look at somebody and you say that person has tattoos from head to toe. Not worthy. Or you look at that person, they just look a little bit different than you. They maybe have a handicap, or they maybe have some other illness. And we fail to think about that body as just temporary, but that soul is something that God desires. No matter how spotted you might be, or how troubled you might be, God has a purpose for you. God has hope for you. See, a lot of times, as we think about our faith and think about our love for God, fail to think about how we're to share Him. We fail to see the sunrise. A lot of times we're blinded by our past, by our things that we've done. We're blinded by our current situation. We're blinded by the good around you. You know, we're blinded. We don't see those things. You know, as a horse, we're blind. It's the common, you know. We don't need to have blinders for God. We have to have an open heart, an open mind to see and read and gain knowledge to know the love that He has for us. You know, I talked about this, and I talked about it a number of times this morning. Beautiful sunrise. I gave you that imagery of, you know, as I'm going down Buffalo Shoals Road heading towards Christy's house out there in Catawba. And I've seen that beautiful sunrise, and it sticks in my mind. Now, I told you about Sunset Beach, a beautiful place, a beautiful sunrise. And all this time I've been talking about the sun, S-U-N. There's a more beautiful sunrise you can think of, and that's the S-O-N. So as God has prepared for us a magnificent place, majesty beyond belief, a beautiful sunrise is our Savior rising again, to give us hope to be with Him in heaven. So when you think of a beautiful sunrise now, I pray that you think of it as Jesus Christ, Son of God, who was willing to go to that cross and suffer. Suffer on our part. Suffer beyond belief for me and you. For all of our spots, all of our blemishes, our tattoos, or whatever it is, He went to that cross for us so that we could experience a beautiful sunrise. So this morning you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity to wake up and to see the majesty and the beauty of God around you. You have that opportunity to take part in that. No longer be separated from God. Be one with God then. Make that choice to hear the Word of God. Gain that knowledge. Gain that understanding. To believe that it is true. To confess. Confess that He's Lord and Savior. A beautiful sunrise. There's only been one. So I challenge you today to think about that. As you go throughout the rest of your life, there's going to be many sunrises. There's only going to be one. Beautiful sun. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You now, we give thanks for the beauty that's around us. I pray, Father, that we can slow down and see that beauty. To see it in not only our kids, but our spouses, our son-in-laws, our daughter-in-laws, or just the friends that we meet. I pray we can slow down and just be thankful for them. To know that, Father, You have blessed us just beyond belief. pray, Father, that you can take the things away from us that hinder us from being stronger in you. I pray that you can lift us up when we've fallen down. I pray that you can build us up when we don't feel worthy. For God, we know that you are powerful. You can handle anything. We pray this in your name. Amen.